Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to go rapid fire here because today is actually the Feast of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, and I could spend a whole program on that. Tomorrow is the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and I could spend a whole program on that. And I am supposed to be doing Sunday's readings today. So what I want to urge you to do is look at the readings for Friday today, Solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart, and thank God for his love for you. And then on Saturday, read the readings for the Immaculate Heart of Mary and ask Mary to give you the faith to surrender to Jesus, to surrender to God as she did. Be it done unto me according to thy word. So take time today to look at this great Feast of the Most Sacred Heart. Take time tomorrow to look at the Immaculate Heart of Mary and to ask for the graces that you need. They're there. They're rich. They're alive. They're there for you. I just can't deal with all of it in the program. I need to look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, but I want to really encourage you. I was also very, very touched by a short commentary in Magnificat magazine that I want to share with you that ties us into the Blessed Mother, even as we begin to look at the readings for Sunday. So this is all part of the interlude, then I'm going to spend about 10 minutes on the readings for Sunday. But this is a little article written by Carrie Bucalo, and this is what she said. This is, and it's such an example of taking the circumstances of your life and allowing God to use them. Listen to this. At our wedding reception, we ran out of food. Justin was a youth minister at the time, and we hadn't planned on the swarms of teenagers that came with hefty appetites, but we were happy they were there. With bright red cheeks in my white wedding gown, I spoke with the head server about our embarrassing problem. I felt like the bride from Cana when she and her husband ran out of wine at their wedding feast. And then came a very gracious uncle. With one swipe of his credit card, our problem was solved. Our lack and God's provision was a great precursor to the realities of marriage. It's not perfect, and it can't always be calculated. There have been plenty of times that my husband and I have lacked and failed. But over the years, I see that our marriage has been a handcrafted vessel in the hands of Christ. He has transformed us into a full-bodied and palpable couple to be poured back into the world. One child after the other, we've emptied ourselves out with an openness that has been exhausting yet utterly fulfilling. Like the 6 stone water jars at the wedding feast of Cana, our children's sacraments have already begun to flow and bubble up from the vessel of our marriage. The flavors and richness of our family life deepen with the discovery of God's provision, which is a mystery that is fleshed out every moment of our lives. There's a couple who had faith. And God showed them right from the very beginning of their marriage that they were going to need to have faith and pray for the generosity of others. Brothers and sisters, put everything in God's plans. Pay attention to him. Even when you go through embarrassing circumstances, look at the faith of that marriage. Look what it helped to produce. Sacred Heart of Jesus, we place all our trust in you. Immaculate Heart of Mary, teach us how to love God's will as you did. So we look today now to the 10th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the first reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 9 to 15. After the man Adam had eaten of the tree, the Lord God called to the man and asked him, "Where are you?" Adam's already disobeyed now. And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And then God asked, "Who told you that you were naked?" In other words, why did you recognize that was not a good thing? You have eaten then from the tree of which I had forbidden you to eat. And the man replied, the woman whom you put here with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and so I ate it. Isn't that the common condition of all of us? I didn't do it, he did it. Or she asked me to do something, I'm not at fault. We're always not at fault. The Lord God then asked the woman, why did you do such a thing? And the woman answered, the serpent tricked me into it, so I ate it. Do you notice that neither of them said, I was wrong, I did it. Will you please forgive me? Neither one. Pride ruled the day there. And then the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you shall be banned from all the animals and from all the wild creatures. On your belly shall you crawl, and dirt shall you eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head, while you strike at his heel. God banishes. But Psalm 130 tells us, with the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. With the Lord, there is mercy. We can come back to the Lord. We who have made mistakes, not only have we sinned, but we put the blame on others. We can wake up. We can assume our responsibility, whether it's partial or entire. We can assume it. We can ask God's forgiveness, and we're set free. Why do we hesitate? Because we're so proud. Pride gets in the way for us. We never want to be seen as doing anything wrong, and yet we do wrong things all the time. But if we admit them and ask God to help us to change, he will. Then you stop spending energy trying to hide and excuse your sin. You're set free, and you have one to depend on. You have Jesus to help you. Don't miss all that God has, because with the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. Make sure you read Psalm 130 this weekend. In the second reading, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 13 to chapter 5, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We too believe, and therefore we speak, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and place us with you in his presence. Everything indeed is for you, so that the grace bestowed in abundance on more and more people may cause the thanksgiving to overflow for the glory of God. Therefore, we are not discouraged. Rather, although our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this momentary light affliction, think of it in that light, a momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. What awaits us so far outweighs even what we've done wrong, as long as we repent. For this momentary light affliction, our pride getting knocked, having to confess our sin or weakness, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to what is seen, but to what is unseen. For what is seen is transitory, it's changeable, it'll pass away. But what is unseen is eternal. For we know that if our earthly dwelling, a tent, should be destroyed, we have a building from God, a dwelling not made with hands, eternal in heaven. I urge you to read that passage over and over again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through chapter 5, verse 1. Read it, brothers and sisters. Gain the vision. Gain the perspective. Really encourage you to do that. And now we look at Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 35. Jesus came home with his disciples, and again the crowd gathered, making it impossible for them even to eat. And when his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Even his closest relatives didn't know, didn't see. And the scribes who had come from Jerusalem said, he's possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he drives out demons. In other words, the devil must be in him. Think about that. Do you make snap judgments? Look how wrong that judgment was. But if we're tempted, or if we're challenged, or if we're embarrassed, we often strike back, making all kinds of accusations that may well not be true, and they certainly were not true in this case. Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder the house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and all blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them. If you ask for forgiveness, you will be forgiven. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, in other words, they were blaspheming when they accused him because they were accusing God. They weren't willing to accept who he was. I know it was hard, but they weren't willing even to ask him. They just threw the law at him and tried to destroy him. And Jesus says, amen, I say to you, all sins and all blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. For they had said, he has an unclean spirit. They're just trying to find a way to charge him, to accuse him. They have no facts. How fast do you accuse somebody without facts? They did it to Jesus, major way. His mother and his brothers arrived. That means his own mother and his cousins. Brothers are anybody in the family tree. Standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. And a crowd seated around him told him, your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you. But he said to them in reply, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, my mother. It must have been hard for Mary to hear. And yet Jesus had his priorities straight. Not that Mary didn't understand it, but just that he didn't come out to them right away. Must have been hard. And yet, what Jesus is saying is, if you do my will, you are in as close a relationship as a mother, as a brother. Brothers and sisters, let's do the will of God. Let's choose to do the will of God. Because Jesus says, whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister. And my mother. In other words, he's calling us into the deepest of relationships here on this earth. But he's calling us into something that's totally, infinitely greater, and we can't see it yet. Seek to do his will. Seek to love him. Seek to follow him, that he may be glorified and you may be saved. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.